Welcome back to another fresh week of reflecting together on who God is. Last week on this broadcast, I spent several days telling you about a very important man within the Bible named John the Baptist. We were introduced to him by another man named John, the writer and the Apostle John in his book, The Gospel According to John, chapter 1. If you were with me, then you may remember some of the 8 essential elements in the character of John the Baptist that I highlighted. As a way to refresh your memory and to bring new listeners up to speed, here's a way to remember what we learned. John the Baptist is a God-sent prophet. Once the greatest man who ever lived until Jesus, John exalted Jesus by humbling himself. He tells the truth about Jesus and other people. Therefore, he is not popular with the Jewish leaders, and Herod beheads him, killing John the Baptist. Let me say that again to give you a chance to really internalize it. John the Baptist is a God-sent prophet. Once the greatest man who ever lived, until Jesus, John exalted Jesus by humbling himself. He tells the truth about Jesus and other people. Therefore, he is not popular with the Jewish leaders, and Herod beheads him, killing John the Baptist. John the Baptist is a man of deep character, and the Bible says he serves as a witness and testimony to Jesus Christ. And in this, we learn something about who God is. God intentionally and purposefully sends his witnesses out into the world to testify about Jesus Christ. God sends just the right witness to testify at just the right time. God is purposeful. He sets in motion the life of John, and he builds into this life certain elements of character necessary for John the Baptist to fulfill his mission. And John the Baptist is indeed a credible witness. In the court of law, the only good witness is a credible witness. And this John is such a man, and that's important to know because this week we come to his testimony. But before we get to that, let me say to Christians listening that we are today the witnesses who give testimony also to Christ. And in order to be credible witnesses, then we must also be people of sound character. What does your life say to others about who Jesus is? Something I found very convicting in studying the life of John the Baptist is his commitment in word and deed to exalting Christ by humbling himself. This is a practice that we too can follow. John models this for us, and we really must learn from him and do likewise. Too often when we discuss how to witness for Christ, we jump to the methods. But when reading Jesus, one becomes immediately impressed with how much he thought about who we are as people on the inside, the content of our living, as it were. The apostles such as John, Paul, and Peter pick right up on this in their writings to the early churches, and what they teach us is that who we are on the inside is what impacts our testimony on the outside. So as Christ followers, we want to pray for and press for the Holy Spirit to refine our character. Let me give you an example. Humility. Humility is first a character trait. That is, a person develops humility on the inside before it shows on the outside. So at the start of this new year, you can pray a very specific prayer to God and ask him to make you humble. Now that's a scary prayer, isn't it? Few are the people who pray it. You're nervous that if you say this, God's going to be quick, really speedy in answering that. It may take him forever to give you a spouse or a new satisfying job, but ask for humility and kaboom, you'll be flattened. Well, humility does require a flattening, and it's essential to the character of someone who is a witness and testimony for Jesus. As Jesus himself was humble, so too we must be humble. Then, as you find the Holy Spirit humbling you, you'll be humble in practice. Isn't humility a way where Christ can be more exalted by you? Your life is not about you. Your life is about Christ. For example, let me speak to the working man and woman as well as to the student. Do you work in a team? Do you have assignments that are to be completed with input from others? How about this then? Humble yourself by sharing credit for success with others more readily, freely, and easily in 2018. And should the group that you work or study with fail, take the blame. Put it on yourself. Shoulder responsibility, even if you do not necessarily have to. This attitude practiced by the Christian will speak loudly to the people around you of your humility. Rather than being quick to take credit or tardy to accept responsibility and failure, be quick to give others credit and success, and fast to take ownership when there is failure. Now, this is only one example. Please do not get wed to the example. And remember, I'm not asking you to just go out and be immediately humble, but rather to ask God to make you this way. Otherwise, what I've suggested here will be too unnatural, and the people in your team will pick up on the lack of genuine humility. John the Baptist exalted Jesus by humbling himself, and that made him a credible witness. Let us do the same. Now, what is John the Baptist's testimony? Well, there's much that John the Baptist says here in the book of John, chapter 1, but I want to get to the heart of John the Baptist's testimony about Jesus, so I'll drop down to John chapter 1 and verse 29. John 1:29 says, "The next day John the Baptist saw Jesus coming to him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" This declaration of John's is also repeated in John chapter 1 and verse 36, "Behold, the Lamb of God." This is John the Baptist's credible witness testimony of Jesus Christ. For John, Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I want to describe this phrase to you in detail because when you understand what John the Baptist means by this, then you will have learned a great deal about who God is. This one profound statement is of awesome truth. It is really a definitive statement on who God is in Christ. It needs to be highlighted in every Bible and memorized by every believer. We must understand its purpose and great meaning. Now, it is likely that John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God," whereas John the writer and apostle added, "who takes away the sin of the world." Why do I say that? Well, remember, John the Baptist dies in the public ministry of Jesus Christ early on in that period of Christ's life. And John the Baptist had already been dead before Jesus died and came back to life. As I said in summary at the beginning today, John the Baptist was beheaded by Herod. But John the apostle and writer spent years with Jesus in person, following him and seeing firsthand Jesus preaching, teaching, miracles, words and deeds, and then seeing with his own two eyes Christ crucified, dead, only to meet the risen Christ a few days later, back from the dead. So he can certainly write of Jesus who takes away the sin of the world. But either way, given the whole phrase is in the Bible, then it is all the Word of God. And just what did John the Baptist mean by, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world"? Let's explore the meaning of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And let's do this slowly and with great intentionality. To do this, I want to break this phrase into three parts. Part one is sin of the world. Part two is Lamb of God. And part three is takes away. Part one is sin of the world. Part two is Lamb of God. And part three is takes away. The first two parts need the most time, and part three can be discussed fairly quickly. When you have your Bibles, go to John 1, verse 29, and highlight John the Baptist's testimony as follows. Part one, sin of the world. Part two, Lamb of God. And part three takes away. I'll put this on the God Is social media sites so you can see it and circle these words in your Bible, or you can write to me and ask for it. mark@markaswallow.com. By the way, tomorrow is an excellent starting point for new listeners. So call someone you know, text them, and invite them to listen along with you starting tomorrow. They will not want to miss it. And if they listen tomorrow, they'll sort of get in on this from the very beginning. So tomorrow, we're going to turn our full attention to the sin of the world. And I'll do this by engaging you in a biblical definition for sin. What is sin? Do you actually know what it is? How would you define it? I find that not a lot of Christians can definitively say sin is, followed by the definition. Usually when I ask a believer what sin is, I get a list of specific sins. Sin is lying, sin is murder, sin is adultery. And that's one possible way of saying what sin is. But that's hardly a succinct way to think of sin and to talk about sin. So we'll go deeper than that at this time tomorrow. But let me pray for our week together. Lord Jesus, thank you for the witness testimony of John the Baptist. He was a man of great character, and he died a gruesome death as a credible witness giving testimony of who you are. John the Baptist is a man that can teach us a great deal about what it means to be a person of character. Refine our inner person this year, Lord. Help us as Christians to be people who genuinely are, for example, humble. And we do pray that you will humble us, that you will make us more like you. This year, we want to be like you. I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ out there on this cold January day, struggling in work, struggling in school. It's dark when we leave. It's dark when we come home, Lord. And it's hard to be putting ourselves last and giving first place to others on our teams. Help us, Lord. Amen. All right, friends, please be back with me tomorrow as we continue to learn who God is.